Hello, and welcome to the Architectette podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Brady. Architectette is a podcast that illuminates the lesser heard stories of women plus in architecture and related fields. On today's episode of Architectette, we're traveling to the metaverse with Fatima Monfred. Fatima started her journey with a degree in architecture, but soon established a specialty crafting virtual worlds and experiences. She is currently the chief metaverse architect at her company, Spaces. This is going to be a great episode for folks in architecture and design who want to know a little bit more about the metaverse without all the jargon and complexity. On today's episode, we talk about the opportunity that took Fatima's career from a traditional path in architecture to owning a company focused on creating metaverse environments. We next discuss the limitations and creative freedoms within different metaverse platforms. Fatima touches on the architectural considerations, the design processes, and the tools required for creating immersive experiences. Another topic we cover regards the technical aspects of her job, the software, the coding, and how design elements like shopping experiences, teleportation, music, and education work in the metaverse. We also dive into entrepreneurship. Fatima shares how her focus on a niche has helped her build a successful company and expertise. We end by talking about the buzz around the metaverse and virtual and augmented reality during the pandemic. We talk about the trends of the metaverse have kind of changed during post-pandemic, and how clients today are actually a little bit more genuine because they've done their research and they're really interested in crafting an experience online for their brand. We have just touched the surface on all things the metaverse, so all links to connect with Fatima and learn more will be in the show notes. Show the podcast some love by joining our communities on Instagram, LinkedIn. You can also leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Enjoy the episode. I'm so excited to welcome Fatima. You are a founder and a chief metaverse architect, and this is something that we have never talked about before, so I'm very excited to dive in. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here. It's a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to it.
So a lot of our listeners are based in architecture, work in the architecture industry. You started in architecture. Can you talk a little bit about what your college experience was like and then how you ended up in your specialty today?
Yeah, absolutely. I did my bachelor's and master's both here in Spain. And my bachelor's was a little bit less traditional, but I think my master's was quite traditional. We were like discussing how to revive the rural Spain and the España vaciada, which is like the empty part, like the empty villages that you find, and how to revive that and how to kind of regenerate life in those cities. And I did that during the pandemic as well. So I started that during the pandemic. And I took a gap year between my bachelor's and my master's. And I think that year really helped me a lot as well to figure out what I wanted to do. I always knew that I didn't want to practice architecture in the traditional sense of it. And I think that really was like the starting point of it. I did an internship as a research assistant in Casa de Velázquez, which is like the French Institute, where we like researched the history of the old waterways beneath the city of Madrid. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And I think that was one of the things that was really exciting for me, research and just the academic side of it as well. And during this time as well, I had some friends who had a startup and they were really interested in NFTs, metaverse, and I would always be hearing about it and just really intrigued by it and exploring it in ways that I could. Never saw it as a career opportunity though, or something that I could end up doing myself. So it was quite spontaneous. I remember one day one of my friends came up to me and was like, hey, you know, we bought this land in a metaverse. And that by itself was very like confusing for me, like we bought a land in the metaverse. So why do you need to buy land? Isn't it like infinite space in the metaverse? So and they were like, well, would you like to design something there as an architect? So I started really looking into designing in the metaverse in that sense. That was kind of the beginning of my journey.
Mm-hmm. When this friend approached you and said, actually, before we go into that, it might be helpful for people who are totally unfamiliar with this. Can you just give a primer of some of the vocabulary words we'll be using, like metaverse, NFT, like Decentraland, DAO, what does that stand for?
Yeah, so DAO stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organizations. Basically, there are organizations that are where decisions are not made by one entity, rather by the community that is involved. And I think they're very interesting. For example, the metaverse Decentraland is a DAO. So all the decisions that are made in how the platform would develop or how it would change are taking into account the decision through the community. So it's not just one entity deciding, well, this is how it's going to look like, or this is how we're going to treat people's data, or this is how we're going to, for example, renew the experience and so on. Whereas, for example, you know, the centralized metaverse platforms would be something like Meta's Horizon Worlds, where it is an entity, it is a company that is deciding essentially what is going to happen with it, how your data is being treated and all of that. So it's done in a centralized manner where one entity is making those decisions. And in a decentralized way, it's the community that is taking part into those decision making. I think it's very interesting. It's something that worked quite well for some time. And I think in some cases it doesn't work so well. So we can get into that later on. NFTs are non-fungible tokens. These are basically digital assets that we own, and kids playing Fortnite or Roblox, they own their assets in those games, right? But let's say that Fortnite decides to close tomorrow. You've invested so much money creating those assets or buying those assets, and they're completely gone. You can't use them. You can't reuse them in other spaces. They're just gone. They're completely attached to your account within that game, right? Mm-hmm. So NFTs, what really they do is they give that ownership back to the owner. Really, like you have that ownership no matter what happens to that platform. And on the other hand, I think they're really interesting for art. I talk about this as well because there are architects that are NFT creators. So, you know, we can create 3D art, we can create any kind of creative work that we want to do and sell that as NFTs. And it's very interesting because I had various conversations with artists that when you're an artist and you're selling your work through the traditional way of going to galleries, basically at the end of the day, through commissions and middle works, there's very little that comes back to the artist. Whereas here with NFTs, you continuously get royalties throughout the time of the work. So let's say that you've created an NFT and you sell it, and that is continuously being sold off to different people, right? So it's being exchanged, your creation. And with every exchange that happens on your creation, there is a percentage of that goes to you, the creator, the main artist. So I think that's really interesting. And you can set that up yourself as the artist. And with the metaverse, that's just a much wider topic. In my opinion, I think the metaverse is a connection of different virtual experiences and how we interact with them. So it can include technologies like augmented reality, virtual reality, and extended reality. So I think it's just a combination of all of these experiences and just our virtual lives, like the 3D immersive web, I would say.
Metaverse is kind of like that overarching category. And then there's many different types of kind of virtual realms in which you could interact and participate. But metaverse is like the larger category of all of those types.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And so when this friend approached you and said, hey, I bought a plot of land, that just gets my architecture brain going of like, okay, like what is there topography? Like how was that plot of land determined? Was there like master planning involved in this type of world? And when you approach that as a designer, what are the different considerations that you have to look into when you design this space, or is it totally limitless?
So that's the thing. It's you would think that it's totally limitless, right? Because you know we're in the virtual world. Why should we have limits, right? But then there tends to be limits. One of the first disappointing things that happened to me when I was doing that first design in the Decentraland was, I remember I talked about this and compared it to, you know, when you're in architecture school and you're drawing sections. And one of the first things that professors do and just say, like, you know, this is a disaster, don't ever do that. The first section that you draw in architecture school always has this like straight line at the, like, you know, like you have this ground level that is completely straight.
Yep.
And, you know, like a flat land. Who wants to work with that? That's boring, right? So basically, that's what is happening in the central land. You basically have a planner that has designed a whole world and then divided it up into tiny, tiny parcels. Mm-hmm. And you have like a flat land and you have limitations in size. You have like a 16 meter by 16 meter long, like one parcel is 16 by 16, which is quite mm-hmm. tiny. And then you can go up to 20 meters height. Also another limitation that you have. And depending on how many parcels you own, you can go higher in height and you can go larger in size, but then you kind of are like limited to that line, right? So when you go in the central land and you see all of these experiences, like this flat land, completely no topography whatsoever, and then just buildings built on top of it, the aesthetic wasn't pleasing to me. And I think that's pretty much one of the reasons that I never really explored that word much further. We've done a bit of projects in Decentraland, for example, when we worked with during the Metaverse Architecture Biennale, we did a pavilion that was also in Decentraland, but it's just quite limiting and it doesn't really let you take out the creative side. So there are, I think what I categorize it is, there are two types of metaverse platforms. There are the ones that are land-based and they have this kind of map and then you're kind of limited to that. But then there are other ones that are experience-based. So you design your experience the way you want with the dimension, size, topography, whatever it may be. And then you build on your experience. So I think experience-based metaverse platforms are a bit more exciting for architects in general because you can just create whatever you want to create. And one of those examples would be like Spatial or Worlds. And I think these are a bit more exciting and free platforms to work with for us as architects.
Mm-hmm. And when you are going about the design process, is there a specific, do you use Revit or Rhino to design these spaces and then just kind of export it to the land? Or how does that design and production process work?
Yeah, it's very interesting question as well. I think it's one of the things that is really important to have in mind when you're deciding to take on this adventure of going to work in the metaverse or creating metaverse experiences is to be flexible and to learn to adapt, to learn new skills on a daily basis and adapt to the different things that are happening, because what it was building in the metaverse a year ago until today, it's completely not comparable. And as architects, you know, we're like, We take so long to get adjusted to one program and then we just don't want to change that for like the next 20 years. That cannot happen in the metaverse. You need to learn new programs every day on a daily basis and need to learn how to adapt to that. Even just what you could do yesterday in some of these platforms is completely different to what you could do today. So I just wanted to like enhance the pace at which it's evolving and changing while we're building it, because it's such an early stage right now. So you kind of need to have that flexibility. I started out with Blender and as well as some Rhino and just doing 3D modeling, exporting that into FBX or GLB files and uploading it to the metaverse. But then I soon realized that I needed to learn how to work with programs like Unity and Unreal Engine. And right now it's kind of an essential. For example, working in Spatial, you would what you would do is you would create your different architectures in Blender or Rhino or whatever 3D modeling program that you're using, 3ds Max. For example, then you would export that as an FBX and then bring it into Unity and then create interactions, because what we have in the metaverse is not just a static building that you go around and see, but then you also interact with it, right? So for example, as an avatar approaches the door opens, you have points of interest, you have quests, you have game interactions as well, because these worlds are worlds that are interacting. So you're kind of like not only just designing the building, but you're also designing the life that happens within that building. And that game design aspect of it is interesting as well, whether you do it through collaborating with a game designer or you're learning it yourself. And I think it's essential as an architect to also, even if you're just planning on doing the design and collaborating with someone else, to have the minimum knowledge of the game design aspect, just to be able to like, you know, work together properly and both have an understanding of each part of the project.
Mm-hmm. As you talk, I have like 30 questions that come to mind each time.
Yeah.
I think from what you just said last, are there a lot of game designers that are in this realm already? I would assume that like it feels very, I was in Decentraland last night kind of like exploring around and I joined as a guest and it just seems very gamey to me, like a video game almost. So are you seeing more video designers or the video game designers versus architects?
Absolutely. I think that, yeah, I think, I mean, you know, if you think about it, Second World and, you know, the early on metaverses as well. So there weren't many architects there involved in designing it. Even right now, there aren't that many architects involved in designing the metaverse. We're not like traditionally the ones that are creating these experiences. I think it's mainly game developers and developers in general, and a lot of coding goes in the background as well. So that's something to get to know as well. I use ChatGPT for that. Thank you. Thank you, AI, for being my coding brain. But yeah, so I think, it's definitely, it's not something that you would find a lot of architects working, but I think it's a new career opportunity that it's gaining more and more traction every time. And mm-hmm. I think it's very interesting for us architects to be involved, because a lot of the aspects of what it requires to design a metaverse experience, so the central line with the city planning and all of that, I think it's really important for an architect to be involved in that as well, because we do that. We study that during years in university of mm-hmm. how to do city planning and how to organize different different experiences. And, you know, it might actually turn out much better if you have an architect involved in the team. And I've seen that happen with a lot of up and coming metaverse platforms that, you know, early on hired architects to help them in designing and building it. Mm-hmm. And I think the quality and the graphics are just much better, because, you know, we give that, you know, like maybe in the technical side, we don't have much to bring, but at least in the design and planning side, we do have a lot that we can bring to the table. So I think it's very important for us to be involved.
Mm-hmm. And you also talked about kind of gamifying the experience. I think probably a lot of our listeners maybe are not active users of the metaverse or active participants. When you're in these lands, is it more just kind of recreational, or is there a commerce component to it where brands are starting to kind of have a presence? When you're designing these buildings, what are different elements that you can add that enhance the experience or kind of create an experience in general for someone visiting?
Yeah, I think commercial is definitely one of them. So retail and commercial use, music is definitely one of them. So having concerts and exhibitions and cultural. So there's a lot of cities around the world that have their cultural centers in the metaverse. There are people getting married in the metaverse. So you have, you know, governmental institutions in the metaverse. You also have educational institutions. I think that's also very interesting. So gamifying education in a way that makes it interesting and fun for students to learn different aspects. So I think, for example, we worked with UAV, the University of Architecture in Venice. And one of the things that, you know, I think is very interesting for architecture students is having crits and looking at their projects in virtual reality, because, you know, as designers and architects, when we're designing projects, we don't really get to live that experience until the project is fully built. But then imagine having your projects and being able to walk through it and experience it and get the feel of the scale, the materiality, the colors, textures, all of that before it's actually been built. So I think that that's exciting and something that you can implement. And then there's also virtual digital twins. So you have real estate companies that are selling off-plan projects, and you have interactions like being able to change the tiling of the floors or the cabinets of the kitchen before you actually purchase a property. So those are some kind of interactions you can have. It doesn't necessarily have to be a game. It can also just be interactions that are, I would say it's still gamification, but it's kind of like just how you would use the space, right? So it requires some coding. It requires some interactivity to be built on it, but it is not necessarily a game per se.
Yeah, more of an interaction.
More like a social yeah. interaction, let's say, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So going back to how you started in this journey, you know, a friend contacted you, you worked on this first project. How did that turn into starting a company then? And you are one of very few people in this space. I was listening to an interview on another podcast, and you were saying that, I think it was like on LinkedIn, you search the word architect. There are many people that come up, but then you do metaverse and architect, and then there's like 20 of you, and it's kind of a niche. How did you come to like, oh, this is actually a good idea, I'm going to start a company?
Yeah. So that was like very early on. I realized, you know, as an architect, I can bring value to the space. And I remember I went to a conference in Lisbon, which is called the Web Summit. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's one of the biggest tech conferences in the world. So I was kind of blown away by everything that I learned during this conference. Mm-hmm. And I think it was right about that time that I started being approached by people. I mean, just understanding that I didn't even have a company at this point. I just mm-hmm. went to a conference saying like, you know, I'm an architect, I'm interested in this. I'm dabbling within the world of NFTs and metaverse. And there were so little of us actually building something there or having minimal knowledge of building something in the metaverse. That just by this little amount of experience that I had, that was interesting to someone to come and say, well, you know, I want to work with you and I want to hire you. So it started with that first client. And then from then on, just building the company because you need to build the company to have that client. And then
yeah.
it just kind of grew from there. So it was being in the right place at the right time, definitely, I would say. Being lucky for having that happen. And it just, I really never had the time to even like look back at how this came about, because mm-hmm. it was just so fast and something that, you know, it just, there was no planning whatsoever. It just happened. And I was glad that it happened, but it just happened. So really no planning, no time or money spent into marketing or any such things. You know, like a lot of the platforms that we're building on have a database for creators that are building on their platform. We're still so little of us that are building on majority of these platforms. Like it's growing every day. It's really growing every day. And I'm really glad to see that there are more and more people coming to build within the metaverse. But yeah, being early on, you had that help from the platform as well that supported you, because, you know, it's kind of like a win-win situation for both of us. We're building, so we're bringing value to that platform. And that's very interesting as well, because community is very important in the metaverse space. And that's very, very something that helps a lot for mm-hmm. both sides. We're the community that are building there. And I feel like we've been valued for that too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you all are like pioneers, right? You have to help each yeah. other out, and you're learning as you go and building as you go. So absolutely. What type of clients have you had so far? I looked at your website, of course, but for people who haven't seen your website yet, there's things, digital twins, metaverse, some biennales that you've participated in. What are other clients that are types of projects that people are hiring you to do?
So basically the ones that we've mentioned, so we've worked with digital twins for real estate. We've created a digital twin of a palace in Rome in Italy. That was a really fun project. We've created educational projects, worked with universities. Right now we're finishing up a project, educational project with it in Colombia, and institutional, so like cultural experiences, and as well retail. So we've worked with a shoe brand, creating an online store for them, metaverse experience for them, music industry as well. So we've created a festival and concert space. This is one of the first projects that we had. Even though it's not fully live, it never actually got built, but it was really a fun project to design. So it's just something, you know, as all our architects have in their archive, it's an unbuilt project. Even in the metaverse we have those. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I would say that these are the main categories. We also designed NFTs. So for Mezzamundo, we designed an NFT piece that was exhibited during the Miami Art Week as well. We've also done another NFT project that was like a key for a company that is working in the data sector. So they wanted to like give that access key to their clients who would then use it to have access to the data. So we designed this very cool animation of a key that flips around with two different worlds and numbers and so on. So everything is absolutely online and creative and fun, everything that we do, but we work with many different sectors. We don't really like specialize in one, but I would have to say that for me specifically, education is one of the sectors that excites me a lot. I think education in the metaverse is something that we need to pay more attention to. I think, you know, the pandemic really raised that question a lot. Like, so how do we make education more immersive if it's going to be online, or how do we make it more accessible as well in a way? And I think metaverse can help a lot in that.
Mm-hmm. And so for the NFTs, are the different buildings that you're designing, could those also be, or I guess not just buildings, but like experiences or worlds or keys, like you mentioned, is that something that is an NFT also? That's how you are selling it to the client? Or is that just a product that then is sold one time?
Yeah, so we actually just, we didn't do anything of the upload of the NFT. So we just created the art and then gave the art. So we were commissioned to okay. design this art piece that would then be sold as an NFT. So we didn't do any of the work of like actually creating the NFT or selling the NFT. None of those. We were commissioned to design something that would then go on to be an NFT that would be sold for Mezzamundo as well. So in that case, it was an NFT. So the platform Mezzamundo is the one that turned our artwork into an NFT that's on their platform for sale, actually. And it's not one of the main pillars that we do. Of course, it's one of the projects that we do, but the rest of our projects are mainly virtual experiences. They are not being sold in the form of NFTs.
Okay. And so for the virtual experiences, what are different design elements that you use or you think of? I'm thinking kind of, I've looked at a few of them online, right? And it seems kind of like video gamey, a little like fantastical. Are most of the design elements kind of trending towards that like Tron type of experience or look or aesthetic? Or is there maybe like a little corner of the metaverse that's all like Roman Gothic, you know, type, more like older stylized? Or is this metaverse more of just like the newer kind of more futuristic style?
I think that's the coolest thing about the metaverse. You find it all. I mean, just walking around the Decentraland, you could see it. Mm-hmm. You could see like really beautiful creations that are, you know, fantastical or just out of the box, something you've never seen before. You can also see like very modern, classical, like, you know, very Le Corbusier style projects. And then you can have mm-hmm. your Roman and Gothic styles. So you have all the different kind of styles in the metaverse. Really depends on the and on the creator and also the client. So even ourselves, we don't really stick to one style, although our website looks like we're really just sticking to one style, because we don't really have all our projects uploaded there. Mm-hmm. But we do tend to do things based on our clients' needs. So there are clients that want something that is absolutely out of the box, and they want, like, you know, well, I want the tallest tower in the metaverse, or, you know, I want the lush garden in the middle of the desert. So whatever mm-hmm. it is, you can have that because it's, you know, we can do whatever we want in the metaverse. But then there are also other projects that are like, well, you know, I want this to be accessible to my clients, and I want them mm-hmm. to feel comfortable. I don't want it to be too much of like a jump for them because of the client that they're really reaching out to. So then it tends to be more like the real world, like something that is resembling to what we actually have in this world, so that mm-hmm. it's not too much of a jump for them, or seems a bit more approachable, I would say. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Yeah, walking down the street in Decentraland, you see like a beach, and then Christmas trees, and then a modern building, and it's all over the place, which is kind of nice. Just, you see a lot of ideas at one time.
Yeah. I think what I don't like about the Decentraland is that I think that, you know, for example, when I see different styles that are isolated experiences that mm-hmm. have different styles, that doesn't bother me as much. But then when all of these different styles are put right next to each other, it can feel a bit too much. So that's one of the things as well, because you don't really have rules in the Decentraland, right? So there is no guidelines on how you should approach a design or mm-hmm. what kind of design you would have. So like, you can find a super futuristic building right next to a Roman Colosseum or like a Gothic building. So then, you know, that just feels a little bit like, you know, I can't handle it. It's a bit too much. Like they're two contrasting styles right next to each other. That's why isolated experiences are great, because each experience is its own world, and you don't feel that shock of like, well, you know, I was just in this very modern building, and right now I'm in this room in a Colosseum. So I think that's why it's also exciting about isolated experiences. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can curate the entire experience and really immerse someone in that and tell the story. Whereas Decentraland is like thousands of different stories all within eyesight, and it's, you don't know which one to join or how they relate to each other. And it is that, at least where I haven't explored all of it, but it just seemed like kind of a straight street, and there's plots on either side, and there's no public squares or diagonal cuts or kind of like the essence of a real urban condition that would make it vibrant. It's very kind of linear.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I like, you know, walking in the metaverse, I don't know, I have something against that. Long avenues and just walking to get from point A to point B, it just doesn't make sense for me for the metaverse, right? It's just like, mm-hmm. you know, when anything is possible, why have the most mundane, boring thing be the possibility? So, mm-hmm.
yeah, jump yeah. around, right? That would probably be
yeah. better.
In your worlds, do you integrate teleportation, or I don't know what it would be, yeah. like a jump, some type of like portal or something like that?
Yeah, we absolutely do. So for example, we're doing this creation for an artist right now where the artworks are kind of like stacked on top of each other. And then to get from one to the other, you have like this point where you enter, and then you have different teleports, and then the name of the artwork on top of it. So like, you can decide which artwork you want to see, and then you just directly teleport to it, and then you just walk into this halo, and then you're instantly transported somewhere else. So that's cool. I think that it's very exciting to incorporate those as well.
Yeah, and that is something, is that the coding from ChatGPT that can get that for you, or there's like a whole other element to get those interactive elements?
Those interactive elements, you can do them through Unity with Spatial. So you don't need any coding for that. It's absolutely no code necessary. So I think it's very easy to use them. Like, there's a lot of content online on the YouTube page of Spatial.io. So they share a lot of videos, and they also have like weekly conferences where like they're constantly helping creators learn new ways to work with their platform. And I think you can start with that. And it's a great way to, you know, jump into a program that normally architects were not used to working with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an amazing tip, especially if someone is like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to use it. Just start attending those weekly meetings and then you'll learn a little bit more.
Yeah, and there is like recordings of it on YouTube that you can just go back to if you missed it. So yeah, there's a lot of content that you can use to just get started. It's quite straightforward. Yeah.
Excellent. That's a great tip. Thank you. And before we wrap up, I know you mentioned education spaces. I think that was probably a huge potential use for the metaverse, especially during the pandemic when everyone was stuck at home and telecommuting and doing virtual classes. Have you seen any trends emerge or subside since the pandemic? Has the metaverse been getting a little bit less attention since those 2020, 2021 years? Or kind of what have you noticed over the past couple of years?
Yeah. I think the 2020, 2021 years were crazy, like absolutely crazy. I don't think there's any other word that I could use to describe it. And I think it really got a push. So during the time that I was at the Web Summit, like I think right before the Web Summit was when Meta, Facebook announced their name change to Meta. And this was not just the pandemic. So, I mean, this act in itself completely just created a huge hype, I would say, and not necessarily a good one, I would say, because yes, you had a lot of traction. You had a lot of people who were interested in the metaverse, but they were just interested in getting, like wasting your time getting information, and nothing really fruitful comes out of it, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like right now, some time has passed, and there is a lot of use cases that are coming out, and you know, a lot of companies have created amazing experiences, and that has kind of become the portfolio for all of us that are working in the metaverse of like, look, well, this is what you can do in the metaverse, and this is what you can get out of it, and it is really something interesting. So that portfolio that has also, you have had that time to like create collectively as metaverse creators, I think that has also helped having real traction right now. So it might be less, but it is quality. It is of a higher quality, I would say. So when someone really approaches you right now to create something in the metaverse or having some sort of interest, that's a genuine interest, and it's not just, you know, let's follow the hype. And I think that's very interesting as well, even for us as creators, because at the beginning it would just be like, well, you know, I don't want to miss the train, so I just want to be there. I don't know what I want, but I want something in the metaverse, without even understanding what the metaverse is. But right now we have clients that actually know what they want completely, right? So we have briefs that are 4 or 5 pages long with exact details of everything that they need. And that really helps us as well in the way that we do our work, because we're not just, you know, starting off nothing and not knowing what to really, what our goal really is. And I think that's important, because we want to create quality projects, and we want to have a set goal for everything that we're doing, and know that it's being used to do something good, at least in one way or another, and to really bring value. So I think that's what's exciting about it right now, that true, there is not as much hype, but it's still there, and we're doing great projects that are bringing value.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way of thinking about it, where it's the buzz maybe has subsided a little bit more, but the true followers and the people that want to be on the platform and push the development of all of these platforms really are still around, and they're still working, and that kind of core team is really going to bring a lot of progress.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so what do you hope is on the horizon for you, yourself, or your company?
Yeah, I think that we have been focused a lot in metaverse experiences, virtual reality, and I've been saying this for like the past 6 months. I'm really excited about augmented reality, even though it is not a new technology at all. But it is something that I feel like, you know, it's just like, I feel that it is the new technology that we are more excited about. And we feel like we want to give it more attention. And I think it also helps bridge what we have in the physical and the digital. So kind of like bring those two worlds together and connect them in a way. So we're really excited about incorporating the two technologies together, not just creating virtual experiences and virtual reality, but also kind of trying to link that to the physical world using augmented reality. Mm-hmm. That's really something that is exciting for us and something that we would like to work on.
Yeah, that sounds so exciting. I've been seeing a lot of the, whatever this new like headset is that came out, Apple or Facebook or something.
Yeah, the Vision Pro, yeah.
Yes. And it's just, it's kind of silly to see someone walking around with that on their head, you know, on the subway or in their house, whatever. But the potentials for uniting those two worlds, virtual and physical, is really, really interesting. And I think we kind of are at the point where it's kind of like, oh, that's a little goofy, but I think give it a couple years, it's going to be part of our everyday life and it's going to become so integrated.
Yeah, I mean, augmented reality mirrors that are being placed in virtual, in physical stores. So like Mango, for example, they're bringing in augmented reality mirrors so that, you know, you don't have to have those huge lines or waste an hour trying out clothes, but then you can just use those mirrors to test out the different clothes that you want to buy, or many different use cases that I think are very interesting. And then just, you know, virtual reality was like I feel like we did that like big leap. We took that big leap and then we were like, wait, no, we kind of missed a step, you know? Yeah. So we need
too
to
far,
kind of go
too
back.
Far, yeah.
Exactly. We need to kind of go, but not really go back, but also kind of like just try to link it to make it easier for people to be onboarded into the experience, or just kind of like help them link the two worlds in a way. So I think we're at that point where we're like, okay, we took that leap, but then let's try to figure out how we can get other people or the general public to take that leap with us and make it easier for them to do so.
Mm-hmm. And so for someone who is maybe has a background in architecture or is in the AEC industry, what would you advise for them? Like, what resources should they look at if they're interested in this? And how could they take that kind of baby step into working in augmented or metaverse design?
I think that you have a lot of content on YouTube. I think that, you know, one of the platforms that I think is very interesting to get started on for an architect is spatial.io. I think they have a lot of content on their website as well, where getting started and all the basics you need to kind of start building on it. And I would say that first thing I would do if I was an architect and I was just curious about all of this is I would go create my avatar and start exploring. Mm-hmm. I would start exploring whichever world I could. So just hop onto Spatial or hop onto Decentraland as well. I think it's quite fun to explore it. I don't know if you had fun last night just going around the streets, even though that I don't think it is the most aesthetically pleasing for architects metaverse in the world. But I think it is one that is one of the first ones, and I think it still has a lot of merit and should definitely explore that as well. And as well, just, you know, search for content on YouTube, try to follow that. And if you need any more information as well, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn or on Instagram, wherever it is. I'd be happy to answer you.
Excellent. And I'll put all of your links in the show notes. So if people wanted to contact you, they can do that. Do you want to give a shout out to any of your social media handles or your website?
Our website is spaces.xyz. I'm the Architect Traveler on Instagram and Fatemeh Munfarid on LinkedIn. Just find me and connect. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Excellent. Well, Fatemeh, thank you so much for joining me today. I feel like some of these conversations could get very much in the weeds and technical, but I appreciate your ability to kind of simplify it for someone who isn't totally immersed in the metaverse yet. And there's just so many potentials out there. And it's so interesting hearing about your background in architecture and then how it kind of, you know, happenstance almost that you got involved and then now you've made an entire career out of it. So I really appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Architect Debt.
If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to share it with your network, leave us a 5-star rating and review, and follow us on social media. Reach out to the podcast directly at architectet.com. That's architect, E-T-T-E.com. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode. See you then.